We are happy to have Brother Newton share the Lord's word this morning. Over to you, Brother Newton.
When Jesus was on earth, he used many illustrations and he spoke in parables whenever he spoke to people. And we can say he also used some stories to communicate some truths. And this morning I also want to, in the same way, I'm not giving you a parable or a story, but it's in my heart to make a comparison between our human body and the body of Christ, so that we can drive home the truth about the body of Christ in a powerful way. So that's what's on my heart. You know, brothers and sisters, this human body is a wonderful creation of God. And I must say it's a marvel. And that's why we believe that God's created this human body, and we don't believe in evolution. And you know, this body, all of us know, we need a balanced diet for us to be healthy. You know, medical science teaches us that we need carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, minerals, fat. And all the mothers, they are very, very careful that their children should get a balanced diet. And in fact, you know, we spend quite a bit of time trying to make sure that we eat a variety of food, not just one particular type of food. For example, you can't be just eating biryani every day. You know, that's not good for our health. We need a variety. We need greens, we need vegetables, we need meat, we need milk, and variety of food we need. We need to give us a balanced diet. And you can go to the doctor and find out what food you got to eat to get a balanced diet. You know, if we don't eat certain type of foods, we get some deficiency, you know. And that's the reason. For example, even though pickle is good, you can't just be eating pickle just for lunch. Nobody is so foolish to eat only pickle or poppet, you know. Little bit of pickle, little bit of poppet, little bit of curds. That makes a balanced diet. And all of us, when it comes to our physical body, we are all very, very careful. You know, we don't eat whatever we like, and we make sure that we eat the right type of food, the right quality, and at the right time. And in the same way, if we want the body of Christ to be balanced, you know, God has given us a balanced diet. Can someone tell me how can you get a balanced diet? Spiritually speaking, I'm using an earthly illustration to convey spiritual truth. Just like for a body, we need a balanced diet. Can someone tell me how can you get a spiritually balanced diet? Have you thought about it? I'll give you a verse in, while you think about it, in 2 Timothy. I want to show you how you can get a balanced diet this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Did you get an idea how we can get a balanced diet, brothers and sisters? And in case you didn't get still an idea, shall I tell you? You got 66 books in the Bible to give you a balanced diet. And some of us, like I told you, we eat only what we like. And we neglect many other things. And some people I find, they like some portion in the scripture and neglect some portions completely. And no wonder they're all imbalanced in their life. No wonder there is deficiency in their spiritual life. And no wonder they are not as strong as they ought to be. And I must say, it's become a desire in my own heart. Lord, I want to get as much as possible from every book in the Bible. We heard last Sunday, every promise we got to claim. Brothers and sisters, how will you know every promise unless you go through the 66 books of the Bible? I want to say this morning, this is not a burden, and take it like a balanced diet, just like you are so careful to eat eggs for breakfast. You know, meat for lunch. You want to make sure that you get a solid diet. And in the same way, God's given us 66 inspired books in the Bible. Are you keen to eat? Take nourishment from every book. I want to tell you this morning, it will change your life. You will become strong and balanced and healthy. And oh, that may God give us a desire that every book in the Bible will become interesting for us. It won't be boring. If you take that attitude, Lord, you've given me all the books so that I get some spiritual nourishment. Don't tell me, oh brother, this book, Ecclesiastes, I don't understand. Oh, Isaiah has got 66 chapters, you know. And I believe you must have a right attitude. Say, Lord, I want to get nourishment from every book. And I believe if you have a right attitude to God's word and take it like food. Job said, I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, may God give us a hunger and thirst this morning and longing to go through every book. I say, Lord, what strength I can get from every book? What nourishment can I get from every book? And then you'll find God's word becoming very interesting and living. And then you will not neglect some portions of the scripture. And brothers and sisters, let's take it as a challenge this morning. If you've neglected some portions, maybe you've neglected Gospels or epistles or some portions of the Old Testament, you know, maybe you neglected Proverbs. If you take an inventory of your life and just go through the 66 books in the index, you'll find some books, boy, you never read them at all, you know, for a long, long time. And oh, may God help us to come back to the Bible and say, Lord, I want to receive the nourishment you have planned for me from every book so that I can be strong, and then you will get a balanced spiritual diet, brothers and sisters, and then you will be strong and healthy. And I hope all of us will take the same care that we take for our earthly food, also for our spiritual food. Can I hear an amen for that? Amen. Good. I'm happy you're listening. Okay. Number two. You know, all of us, we need 8 hours of sleep for a healthy life. That's what the doctors say. Some people sleep a little less, some sleep a little more. But the point is that we need minimum rest for a healthy life. You know, when your sleep is disturbed, your day is also disturbed. And when your sleep is disturbed, some people are restless. And what is the practical application of this? This is a reference to body. Can we have a spiritual application of that? You smart young people, can you tell me what is the spiritual application of that? It says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You know, it's not God's will that we should be restless and disturbed in our spiritual life. There are people like that. They get disturbed over small, small things in their daily life. But I believe it's God's will that we should remain in rest, not just for 8 hours. We need physical sleep for 8 hours, but the spiritual inner rest, you know how many hours? 24 hours and 365 days. Don't tell me, oh brother, how is that possible? It is possible. If you want to be healthy, if you believe God, it says here there remains a rest for the people of God. You know, like we have this plants, touch me not. You know, you touch them, they shrink. They're very touchy. Are you touchy like that, brothers and sisters, in your daily life? Some small thing, someone says, You get restless. The boss says something, or your partner says something, you get disturbed. I believe the Lord wants us to come to such a place where we remain in deep rest in God. That nothing disturbs us throughout the day. And you sisters with children, mothers with children, I want to tell you this morning, this is really practical stuff. You know, you can remain at rest, yeah, despite all the provocations at home with the children and the relatives. Think to remain at rest. How wonderful it is. And I must say, that's blessed my heart ever since I heard this truth, to remain at rest. Like we sing, like we say, let come what may, let anything happen, let anything break, let anything get lost. No matter what, you remain in deep rest in God. Don't say that it's not possible. It says, we who believe, in the same chapter, enter into rest. It says, verse 11, so therefore let us be diligent to enter into that rest. Verse 3 says, for we who believe, enter into rest. The more you learn to believe in God, that God is on the throne, God works all things for my best, that every day, all the circumstances are ordained by God. Every temptation, God is in control. The more you believe that, you can be at rest. You don't say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't live in fear and unrest. I say, God will give me grace for each day. And therefore, you can be at rest 24 hours, not when you get to heaven, even from today. If you believe that, you can appropriate that. Yeah, I want to move on to number 3. We know in this body, it's not just food, it's not just sleep. We all need exercise. And we know that all those who don't exercise, they get into some medical problems. So the doctors recommend that we all do some minimum physical exercise, which is required for the body. You can't just eat and sleep and expect to be healthy, you know. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, God also wants us to do some exercise. Have you thought as to what is that exercise, brothers and sisters? Spiritually speaking, yeah, we all of us, we need spiritual exercise. We need to take up the cross daily. Put to death the deeds of the body. We can say that is a spiritual exercise. And all them, those who do that, they are healthy. Yeah. And we can say, the Bible says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That's also exercise, brothers and sisters. Have you neglected your exercise? Are you becoming spiritually obese? Or, yeah, if you want to improve your health, I recommend, I'm not a doctor, I recommend that you learn to take up the cross seriously every day. Lord, I don't want to do my own will. And Lord, show me the importance of really taking up the cross, really dealing with myself, and really doing your will. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, the more we learn to take the cross, the more we learn to offer the sacrifice of praise, and more we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the more we learn to praise God under all circumstances, and give thanks in everything, and learn to worship God, I believe we'll be spiritually strong also. Okay. And not only that, the more you stop thinking only about yourself, you just think, how can I serve? How can I bless? How can I give? The more you think about others, not just always about yourself. I mean, the reason why some people are spiritually sick is they're always thinking about themselves. I want to say, God wants to change us, change our life in the body of Christ. I mean, the body of Christ, we don't think only about ourselves. We learn to think about others. Lord, it says, let us consider one another to stimulate, to love, and to good works. That means, that brother, why is he not coming to the meeting? Lord, let me just ring up and find out. I didn't see him last Sunday. And maybe just give a call and say, brother, how are you? What's happening? That's not so difficult, brothers and sisters. The less you think about yourself, the more you think of others. Like we used to sing that song, the way to be happy is to make others happy, and we'll have a little heaven down here. Try that prescription, brothers and sisters. Stop thinking only about yourself, me and myself and my family. And say, Lord, what can I do, Lord, to make life better for others? And you'll find the Lord changing your life. I believe that's a principle we apply in the body of Christ. Yeah, I want to move on to number four. You know, all of us need to take a bath daily. All those who take a bath daily, not only for our cleansing, we feel fresh. After the bath, you feel fresh. And you know, nowadays people use all deodorants and powder and all kinds of things to make themselves presentable. And that's good. I'm not against that. You know, and so that there's no body odor coming from us. And that's just an act of consideration. And in the same way, you know, in the body of Christ, we need a daily cleansing, brothers and sisters. You know, you can easily make out physically those who don't take a bath. You go near them, there's a smell. You want to stay far away. And in the same way, I can also find out those who don't cleanse themselves daily. You go near them, oh, there's a smell coming. That's not the Spirit of Christ. That's their own, like Brother Zach says, Adamic self. You can make out they're so touchy, but small things. And husbands and wives, you can judge yourself. Have you cleansed yourself? The more you cleanse yourself, that order won't be coming. And you know what order you'll get? The mark of a person who's cleansing himself. He'll get the fragrance of Christ. You don't need an artificial deodorant, brothers and sisters. You know, you don't need to spend so much money. That natural, spiritual fragrance of Christ will come forth. Paul could say, we are a fragrance of Christ. Try that, brethren. I would recommend the fragrance of Christ to you compared to all these deodorants. To have the Spirit of Christ. I've seen that many times. The brothers and sisters who constantly judge themselves, who constantly cleanse themselves, for whom this has become a way of life. It's like, do we need an exhortation to have a bath? We all naturally have a bath. Nobody has to tell us. If somebody has to tell you, that means something is wrong with you. And the same way, if somebody has to tell you, brother, are you cleansing yourself? Are you judging yourself? And on top of that, if you say, oh brother, that's a very heavy message. That's really something, then that means something is wrong with you. Just like, you know, all the children, they don't like to have a bath. For them, bath is a burden. But others, oh, they like to have a bath. And I remember when you go to Chennai or Andhra, you've got to keep having baths many times. Nobody has to tell you because you feel so sticky. And that's the mark of a spiritual man. He knows immediately. Something happened, little unrest. Immediately he goes to the Lord and say, Lord, cleanse me through your blood. And you know, it becomes so natural for him to do that. And over a period of time, there's such a beautiful fragrance from his life. And I believe, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not a burden to cleanse yourself. The Bible says, we need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Okay. Then, number five. You know, you want to be healthy, all of us need a regular medical checkup. You know, in our office, after 40, annual checkup is compulsory. And, you know, we, all of us, are so careful to monitor our blood pressure, our weight, sugar, you know. And supposing it's a heart problem, you did, it's okay. And you know, you don't mind doing any test, ECG or echograph or whatever test. You say, doctor, I got some heart problem. I'm suspecting some heart problem. You don't just go to sleep, you know, because you know your heart is important. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, have you taken the same care for your heart? How is the spiritual condition of your heart? And I believe we need to take the same care. See, Lord, constantly go to the Lord. You know, the psalmist says, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Try my thoughts, Lord. See if there's anything that's displeasing to you, that's making you sad. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It is the word of God. It's like an X-ray. The word of God is living and active and sharper the 92-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I believe that's why we need to constantly go to the Lord and say, Lord, examine me, Lord. Show me, Lord. If everything's okay. And I believe the Lord will speak to us through His Word and give us a regular checkup. And so that we are not weak and sick. You know, the Corinthians, Paul said, some of you are sick and weak. Yeah, they were not obedient to God's Word. They were not obedient to Apostle Paul. And they were living in sin. And that's why they were weak and sick. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ, it's not God's will that we should be weak and sick. If you have a regular checkup with the Lord, from His Word, and I believe the Holy Spirit will point out many things that are not right. And the intention is that God will help us to be healthy and strong and grow in the Lord. Okay, then I want to move on to the next item. You know, the most important thing in this body is growth. You know, all the mothers know, children when they're born, they're small, and the mothers want the children to grow. And whenever the children don't grow, they go to the doctor and say, Doctor, my son and daughter is not growing. And we do so many things to give them spiritual growth. And you know, all the organs in the body also grow. And I believe it's God's will that in the body of Christ, all of us grow spiritually. No. Okay. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, are you concerned as much about your physical growth as about your spiritual growth? You know, we are so much worried about our physical growth, but I don't think we are so much concerned about our spiritual growth. And all of us, ask yourself this morning, have you grown as you ought to have grown? The Bible says we should not be like babies. We should not be like children. And sometimes a great joy for me to see, go to different homes. I've seen them when they were small. I go after some years. I see, last week I was in some other town. And I've seen some of the children, they've grown so big. I've seen them from the time they were small. And it's a great joy for me to see them grow up. And I believe the same way, brothers and sisters. God wants us to grow up spiritually. Grow up to maturity. Grow up to adulthood. And grow up to be strong spiritual brothers and sisters. And oh me, maybe say, Lord, at any cost, help me, Lord, to grow. And I must say, that's my longing too. I want to grow as much as possible. Like Brother Zach said, for a human being on earth. Say, Lord, help me to grow, Lord. Grow in grace, grow in wisdom, grow in all the virtues of Christ. And grow in love. And grow in patience. And then you'll become wonderful brothers and sisters. Okay, number 7. Not that one. You know, another important aspect in this body, brothers, just listen to me. It's not in the same order. Sorry, I couldn't plan it ahead. You know, most of the major organs in this body, heart, brain, lungs, liver, stomach, and kidneys, they're all hidden. Have you ever seen your heart? Or your kidneys, your brain? They are the vital organs, critical organs, and they're all hidden. That's how God has ordained in this body. And you know, if major organs stop functioning, and that's the end of life. And God has ordained that many in the body of Christ, that we should be hidden. You long to be hidden? Oh, so many people want to project themselves. They have a small gift. They want to show off. And some are desperate. Lord, use me, Lord. Use me to thousands, Lord. I'm not against God using you to thousands. But they want so much of importance. They want honor. Whereas in our human body, the vital organs are all hidden. And what the principle here is, God wants to keep us hidden. Do you long to be hidden? Just the stomach keeps on doing its part daily. It's wonderful. The kidneys, They keep on purifying the blood without any honor. Would you like to be like that, brothers and sisters? Supposing it's God's will that you should never get honor all through your life, but you keep on doing your part in the body of Christ without any complaint. Lord, never mind if I don't get any honor. Never mind if I never get a chance to preach in the pulpit. Never mind if nobody appreciates me. What a wonderful brother and sister in the body of Christ to have such a spirit. Lord, I'm going okay. If you have planned that I should be hidden all through my life. And if you say, Lord, I delight in that. You're wonderful. not just say, Lord, why you kept me here. Not that grumbling that way. Lord, if it has pleased you to keep me hidden. I think, for example, some other women, they're all hidden from the eyes of others. And yet, some godly women can be hidden for a long time. Oh, baby, say, Lord, keep me hidden. And you know that verse? My favorite verse? And I hope you know it by heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. I love that verse. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is a mark, one mark of the fact that God has made you a member of the body of Christ. You long to be hidden. You love to be hidden. You love to be unknown. Okay, then I want to move on to number 8. You know the wonderful thing about this body, brothers and sisters? This body is not one member. There are so many members in this body, and all the members should be healthy, and they got to function together. They have to coordinate. Even though they have different functions, the beautiful thing about this body is there's coordination. There's no fighting. There's no competition. The eyes and the ears, there's no competition. Or any other part of the body. There's no jealousy. There's no strife. There's no division. They all work together in such tremendous coordination and unity, harmony. Otherwise, there'll be tremendous problems in this body. You know, that's why we're all healthy today. Every part is doing its function wonderfully. And I believe that's how it should be in our life. God given all of us a function in the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. How do you know that God's made you a member in the body of Christ? Shall I tell you? You'll be so content with your role and function, however small it is. Lord, I'm thankful you made me just a member in the body of Christ. And you won't be jealous of any brother and sister. You won't be competing with other brother. And there won't be any friction. I must say, I'm sorry to say, even though this body is such a wonderful testimony to the fact of coordination and interdependence, so many believers, oh, there's a disgrace to God's name. So much of fighting and tension and conflict. You go to so many churches, there's so much of conflict. And I believe that's not expression of the body of Christ. The true expression of the body of Christ is, even though we are different, we can work together, we can coordinate, we don't get irritated with each other, we can bear with each other, not just bear. We love to work together. You know? And the Bible says God has placed each member as He has desired. And therefore we learn to accept one another. The Bible says, I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, that kind of attitude. There are many brothers who say, I can have individual thanks to the Lord and manage myself. I don't need the church. I don't need the body of Christ. And the result is, they're all not growing as they ought to grow. And I believe we have the right attitude. Lord, I need the other brothers and sisters. I need their help. I believe we need to have such a attitude of interdependence, working together. And I hope, brothers and sisters, you got rid of all that jealousy and competition and division, that spirit of division, so that you can recognize that brother God has put him in the church along with me. And therefore, we learn to work together. Oh, may God give us a longing to demonstrate what it means to be the body of Christ, not just be theoretical. Okay. And I want to come to the last point. In this body, every member, human body, receives its direction from the brain. And that's why, you know, when you have a problem with the brain, some parts get paralyzed, you know, because there's no supply of oxygen. And in other words, the brain controls every part of the body. And we can say in the church, that's how it is. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church, and in the body of Christ, every member is connected to the Lord. There's a living connection, and there's a supply of life from the Holy Spirit, from the head, and then you're healthy. And how wonderful, brothers and sisters, to live like that, to receive that life from God. And every brother's got a connection with the Lord, and every brother can be fresh, every brother can be anointed. Oh, to be an anointed brother and sister in the body of Christ, and not just be a paralyzed member. I want to ask you this morning, are you paralyzed? That means your connection with the Lord is not right. You need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. I believe you're in connection with the Lord, you will not be paralyzed. The Lord wants to give us health and strength and make us a blessing in the church. And oh, maybe say, Lord, I want that life. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And brothers and sisters, maybe say, Lord, let that life flow through, Lord, from you to me and to others, and bring healing, not only for ourselves, and healing for others. And I believe, brothers and sisters, then we can demonstrate to others, not theoretically, we can tell others, come and see, brothers and sisters. We can invite others, come and see the body of Christ. Not in theory, in practice. Ordinary brothers and sisters, working together in humility, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, honoring one another, loving one another, blessing one another, covering one another up in love, and receiving from others, and giving. I believe that's under the mark in the body of Christ. We learn to give, and we learn to receive. Some of you may be probably only receiving. You know, that's the reason there's lack of growth. And maybe say, Lord, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I hope you'll become a giver from today. Lord, help me to give more to the church. Help me to receive from you, and give more. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful life God has called us to. Like that song by Brother A.B. Simpson. We too can be anointed as members of His body, the song says. Lord, I hope you have a longing in your heart. And Lord, I want to be a strong, healthy, living member in the body of Christ, having the life of God, the life of the Holy Spirit, and quietly blessing others, quietly building others, and being a useful member in the body of Christ. Oh, may God give us grace, brothers and sisters, to be gripped more about the truth of the body of Christ. I hope this morning what I share about the body will stay in your mind and become useful members in the body of Christ. Shall we just close eyes this morning? Lord, we want to thank you for your presence and your word this morning, and thank you for this wonderful calling, Lord, to be members of the body of Christ, that we can have a living connection with you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, you want to make every part of this body healthy, even physically as we long to be healthy, Lord. And we pray that you will help make every brother and sister healthy, Lord, and where there's sickness and where there's paralysis, even this morning we pray that you will stretch forth your hand and heal them, Lord, both physically and spiritually, Lord. And we pray that you, Lord, make us a living demonstration to what it means to be the body of Christ in this place, Lord. Help us to honor you, Lord. Help us to count for you, Lord. And build up the body of Christ, Lord, in Bangalore and in many parts around, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope what we heard is registered. It was so good. Just like we want to keep healthy, in our physical bodies. The Lord wants us healthy spiritually. And this church will be healthy. We contribute to the health of the church. I hope you understand that. It's not just left to the elders and a few brothers and sisters, but every one of us who are part of the body of Christ. And so may God help us, every one of us, to keep spiritually healthy. It was so good to hear what Newton shared. I was thinking of this word in Colossians 2. Yeah, it says there in verse, it's a lovely word there, what Jesus has done for us, that when we were dead in our transgressions, He's made us alive together with Him. Verse 13. Cancel out the certificate of debt consisting of degrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Satan is against the body, this body of Christ, just like he would like us to get weak and sick and not keep good health even physically. You know, sickness is not from God. God allows it. We see in Job's case. So, the devil is against the body of Christ, and he doesn't want us to keep good health as a spiritual body of Christ. But this must always encourage us that Jesus has dealt a death blow on the cross of Calvary, stripped Him naked, and with all His powers and minions and demons, marched Him naked out of the cross, from the cross, divest Him of His power. And this is what I want to say. So therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance, or the actual word there, the body, belongs to Christ. Let's remember that. So let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. We heard that. It's the head that controls the whole body, the brain, that directs everything in our body to keep us healthy, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. And that's what I want to underline. Growth is from God. I cannot manufacture it. I cannot produce it. But if I hold fast to the head, just like my physical body holds fast, it holds fast to your head, to my head, so we know what we are doing, what we are saying, and what we should eat, what we should not eat. So also, if I hold fast to the head, I will grow. There will be development. And that's God's purpose and will for every last one of us. And so, it goes on to say there, you know, I was looking at that trying to find that in the Message Bible, in verse 20. Yeah, I found it. So, it says there, don't tolerate people who try to run your life. Verse 18. The Message Bible, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join their obsession with angels, that you seek out visions and the worship of angels, the worship of leaders. They're a lot of hot air, that's all they are. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as He nourishes us. So then, if with Christ you put all that pretentious and infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourselves be bullied by it? Don't touch this, don't taste that, don't go near this. Do you think things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? Such things sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and ascetic, but they're just another way of showing off, making yourself look important. And it says there, in the version we all have, it's self-made religion, self-abasement. If I hold to the head, if I hold fast to the head, mind you, CFC is not the head, it's the body. You hold fast to CFC, you will never grow. CFC can become an institution. But you hold fast to Jesus, you will grow. And that's what comes to my own heart this morning. If I want to keep healthy, hold fast to the head. Just like your body and my body holds fast to the head, physically. And we keep good health. And you hold fast to anything else or anyone else, you'll not keep good health. So I pray to God that what we heard this morning we take to heart. That we really hold fast to the head and then we can grow. We have a medical journal and we have the best doctor, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us to help us. He's not just giving us a diagnosis and then He comes alongside us to help us. He diagnoses our condition rightly. He doesn't make a wrong diagnosis like some doctors do. He gives us the right medicine if we are willing to take it. Can be bitter sometimes. But then we can be restored, we can keep good health. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, the best doctor, the best counselor to apply God's word and what we heard this morning to our lives. So that, like we heard, the fragrance of Jesus will come forth from your life and my life. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I hope that it's your desire. It's my desire. You can keep good health. Let's sing that song. Let's stand up and